Listen, in the 80s, Sarah was born in 1980, and in the 70s, for the most part, that whole decade, I spent so much time in the Word. I was just buried in the Word, and I loved it. And there were four or five women in the church, and they loved the Word, too. But for the most part, those that were in, we weren't in that charismatic renewal, but we knew it was going on, and it was a mighty revival because that was happening in the Catholic Church, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all of them. Many of them were being filled with the Holy Spirit, who would let them fill him. And so they were calling us to come in and teach in some of their places. So it was just an amazing time. But I'll never forget one of the things, not so much in the 70s, but in the 80s, if you all remember that was in that charismatic renewal, you'll remember that the book of Ephesians was really the deal. I mean, it was the book of Ephesians. And it was all about who we are in Christ. I am this, I am that. And the first chapter, I think it just overwhelmed everybody. And we got that entire book of Ephesians in our hearts. And that's all just about you would hear preached about when you, well, we didn't get as much Christian TV as we do now. But on the radio, there were many radio pastors. There were almost as many radio pastors as there are TV pastors or evangelists today. And it was all about the book of Ephesians. Well, last Sunday and the Sunday before, and we've got some of these new songs coming in, if you've noticed. They're all about who Christ is, okay? And the Ephesians, it was all about who we are in him. Well, we got off on those songs, and then it became all about us. And when God sets something on course, he lets it run for a long time, even revivals. And I won't go into all that because that'd be a whole other story. But in revivals, things like this happen. God will let it run a long time, and it's a blessing. But then the people start getting over into something else. Well, at that time, it became who we are in him. Well, that was good. But then it became all about us, even the songs we sang. Okay, well, when you go over into the book of Colossians, I love all the Bible. I love Ephesians. I mean, that gave us, all of us that were there, it gave us that bulldog, hold on kind of faith. That's why today you can hardly move us, because it's that bulldog faith. Oh, no, I'm in him. I know who I am in him. I know in Christ Jesus. But by the time you get over to Colossians, oh, my goodness, I remember the first time that I got a hold of Colossians chapter 3, that we are dead in Christ, and if we're dead, we're risen with him, and if we are, then our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And I've still brought that and demonstrated that to you many times, but that was so big in me, it just changed my life again. I mean, there's been times, listen, when you lock into the Word of God and you get pieces of that Word, and you put it in your heart, it changes your life. It changes you there, and then it won't be very long. Well, that changed my life. And then there'll be something else you get in the Word. And if you really, I mean, don't read it once. If it speaks to you and it jumps off the page into your spirit, then get it in there and read it again and again and again and again and again. Get it in there, and it will change your life. It'll change your life again. You'll get another lifestyle change. Maybe not lifestyle, but a life change. Life-changing faith and hold on and who he is and walking with him. All right, let's just go into Colossians. And I want to read you this. Gabby, I didn't give you any notes, but I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go. But I do want to start at the end of Colossians chapter 4. I want to show you what Paul said. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Let's read the end of that. This is all I'm pretty much going to do, because Paul told us to, and Paul was in prison. Okay, so Paul had paid a big, big price to be who he was after all he had done, killing off the saints and all that. Well, God began to use him in a mighty way, and he's written so many of the epistles. Well, this is an epistle, but on letters to the church. So here's what he says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. Look at this. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, that was the lukewarm church, and that's not why I'm doing it tonight. I'm reading this to the Landmark church, okay? Because Paul said, make sure you read it to them and read it from the church, verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. So he's called every one of us to fulfill his purpose. And only he and you may not know what it is. I may not know what that is yet. But he says, oh no, you take heed to the ministry that you've received. You've received this from the Lord, that you will fulfill it. Verse 18, I love this part. This salutation by my own hand, Paul said, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. So we don't know if Paul was saying, pray for me while I'm all chained up in this prison, or just remember my chains, that I'm chained, that I might deliver this word to you. I think either way would be fine, however you want to write it. But just to see that he says, this salutation, this letter, this epistle, it was written by my own hand. Now, he doesn't say that on the other ones. But when he says this was written by my hands, most of the time, remember when he says, I had this thorn in the flesh? Well, no one really knows. You know, historians can say this, that, and the other. But there's too many, whenever there's too many answers to one thing, you can't really grab one and say that's it. Okay, but some say they, for some reason, they think it may be his eyesight that was dim. And he wanted to see, he begged to see. But here he says, I wrote this with my own hand. Because most of the time he talked it to somebody else and they wrote it down. But he said, hey, I did this myself. I love that. So anyway, I want us to back up and I'll read a little bit of it to you. Let's see here. Oh my goodness. We could just start anywhere. You guys ought to just read it later on this week. Just put this in your heart. I know many of you are reading in the four Gospels, especially Luke, about the beginning of Jesus coming. Let's look down at chapter 2, Colossians 2, Gabby, and we'll start at verse 6. So, when I told you Colossians, it's about him in us, okay? So for a while there, it's all about us and him. But here he's like, oh, no, I want you, Paul is saying, I want you to see who he is. I want you to see him in you instead of you in him in you. All right, Colossians 2, 6. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How many's received Jesus as Lord? All right, so that classifies who we are. He said, okay, you're saved, you're walking in him, so just go ahead and walk in him. And then it says what we are and how we are. In verse 7, it says, you are rooted and you're built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Ooh, abounding in it. My goodness, you're just abounding in him, and you've got roots. You're all rooted, and whatever goes on. Remember the other day, it was on Sunday, and I spoke about us being anchored. Remember when we talked about being anchored? Well, we've got some deep roots, you guys. If you're saved, and you love him, and you've been faithful to him at all, and you've been talking to him during your day and in the middle of the night at times, you're rooted. Now, you may have some surface issues. You may have some surface stuff going on. Like, you know, we go over to Pismo, and you look out there on the ocean or take a cruise. You can look out the ocean, and all you're seeing is surface. But you know underneath, there's all kinds of activity going on down there. There's a whole other world down there in the ocean, the fish of the sea, and all the creatures that are there. So He says, oh no, there's, I know you're going to have issues in our life. We have issues. And you know, most of the time we don't even know what those issues are about. But when issues start happening, whether it's with your children or your finances, or there's usually, or I don't know, any kind of issue going on, there's roots underneath. There's roots. And Morris really used to talk to us about dealing with the root. And you attack the root. Jesus said, put the axe to the root of the tree. And the only way that we can put the axe to the root of the tree is through the Holy Spirit. So if something is starting to mess with your mind or your spirit, then you just have to understand that that's just a surface thing. Well, Pastor, I've been a little anxious lately, or, seems like a little nervous or upset. Well, that's just a surface thing, but there's a root. And so you just put the axe of the word, because the word is quick and it's sharp. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So there are times when I'm praying about a certain thing and I don't know how to deal with it. And I don't know what the root is, but I know there's a surface. Then I will pray like this: Lord, your word tells me in Hebrews 4:12 that your word is quick and sharp. It's sharper than any tool. So could I just use that, the word of God today, to just cut that thing out? Just cut it out. Just cut it out where it needs to be cut out. And then let your faith hold on to that, and you'll see a difference. I'm telling you, you'll see a difference, because that word is quick. So he says, you root it because you're saved, and then you're built up in him. So now you're rooted where you get your roots. Our roots are in him. We're built up in him. And then look, and you are established in the faith. That means rock solid. So I don't feel established. Oh, no. He says, as you have therefore received Christ the Lord, walk in him. So if you have received him, and we have, then we walk in him. Then it says you are established in the faith. You are rock solid. And don't let the enemy, the adversary, come and try to rob you of your faith. Faith is something you can't see, but it's hope. You know it's in him, so it's faith is abounding. He says, now, you take what you've been taught. Okay, so I'm teaching you right now. I'm teaching you that you're in him. Okay, you're rooted in him. He's built you up. You're established in the faith. And you're abounding, just abounding in the whole thing. It's like just going for a dive in the ocean or a dive in your swimming pool. You're just abounding in that water. And abound in it with thanksgiving. And we just came through a Thanksgiving week. But we do that all the time. How many times do you thank God a day? You know you're praising him all day long. And he loves it, by the way. Well, look at verse 10. And you are what? You're complete. You're just totally complete in him. You're rooted. And you're complete. You don't need anything else. Who is the head of principalities and power. He's the head of all that. Satan wants to come and make you think he's the head. Well, just like this whole woke thing that we just came through. Who would think they would be boasting and bragging and doing all the things that they were doing, saying all that, and just within a few days be demolished and set down? Oh, they're still screaming and crying. But it's because he has brought a completeness, and he's the head of the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's been made to sit above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, so let's go down. Oh, look at verse 11. In him, look at this. This is crazy. But what a parallel, what a scenario, what a comparison. He says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, he was circumcised because he's a baby, you know, Jew. But we weren't. We're Gentiles. You boys weren't. Well, tonight I just got a picture of this spiritual circumcision, not one made with hands and sharp tools, but Miss Mirtha, right, Mirtha? She told me that she was a drug addict for how many years? 20 years. And she has been totally free. What? Complete for 9 years. What did he do, Mirtha? He circumcised your heart. Right here it says that he put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, that's an open sin. We were talking about drugs. But we've got all kinds of sins that rage against us. All kinds of things. But he said, I circumcised you because of Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. Verse 12 goes on to say, oh, you were buried with him, too. Look at all these scenarios. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him. Well, we weren't there, of course. You were buried in baptism, and you were raised with him. How? Through faith. Through faith. We weren't there, but we believe it. We believe it in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It's all about him. So because he got up, we got up. Kathy, that's how you were able to get to church tonight. Because Jesus got up, you got up. Because he got up, you got up. Every one of us has got something to say, God, I thank you that I got up and got out of that mess. All right? It was the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and then you, he just keeps talking about us, and you have been dead in your trespasses. Man, when we were sinners, we were just plain walking dead. And the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So you're no longer dead. You received him. We're alive unto him. We're circumcised in him. We were buried with him, baptized with him. We're raised up with him. And we're made alive unto him and forgiven of everything. You say, yeah, but I don't know about that. It still comes back and aggravates me. It's over. It's over. You just saw it. You've been forgiven of all, your trespasses. But look, it just keeps getting better. Verse 14. And having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, that's all those things that were under the law, like kill them, burn their house down, burn them at the stake, stone them. They've been wiped out, all those handwritings of requirements that were under the law. That was against us. It was against us. We should be dead. Which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way. And what did he do with it? Just nailed it on the cross with himself. So when they nailed him, they nailed us. So if you can call out one of your sins tonight, you have to call it out loud. But just right there, it's on the cross. It was nailed there. And it just keeps getting heavier. Now, I'm reading that. You say, Pastor, you're just reading this to us, and that's what Paul told me to do. You just saw it. I read it to you first, just to cover myself. All right, verse 15. How much better can it get than read the word? Okay, look, it just gets better. So he's wiped out all those handwritings against us. Nailed every one of those sins to the cross. Verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Look, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I mean, he totally humiliated Satan. He humiliated and embarrassed the principalities and the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it says he disarmed them. Now, do you know there was a shooting there today with that poor man there in New York City? He was a CEO, I think, of a health company, just walking to work, was only going to be in Manhattan for 2 days, just walking in a nice blue suit, CEO, top dog, just walking down the street, and a young man gets about from here to the chairs and took out a gun with a silencer and just dropped him dead right there, shot him 3 times. But you know what? If somebody would have disarmed him and took that gun away from him, he couldn't have done anything. But no one disarmed him. And I'll tell you, if our enemy against us had not disarmed the enemy, think where you might be tonight. Just think about it. Whether it was fear or depression or alcohol or drugs or whatever it could be, Jesus said, oh, just tell them that I disarmed the enemy against their soul. And I triumphed over him in public. In public, I did that, triumphing over them. All right, go down to chapter 3, one of my first favorite chapters and verses, Colossians 3, verse 1, Gabby. And now, you know, before, he's like, okay, you've received me, you've received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in me. And now, chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, he just told us we were all raised, we died, we baptized, but we're raised with him. So, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth, because that's where we get in trouble, folks. When we start setting our mind on what we see, the sickness, the disease, the loved one, the lack, whatever it might be, that's where we get in trouble. And you'll have to train your mind to get right back over here and say, you've been disarmed, devil. You've been disarmed. I'm raised up. I am alive in Christ. Christ, you're sitting right there. And so I put my mind on things above. Verse 3. Why? Why? He tells us why. Oh, for you died. For you died. He says, we died. You thought that was, he was talking about Christ? No, he's talking about us. He said, now, I'll tell you why you need to just set your mind on things above. Because you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we are in Christ, with God. Christ is in God. Our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we're sitting at the right hand. So we're also seated above principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're not nearly as bad off as you think you are. Some, no, the devil's been chasing me all week. So he got totally embarrassed and humiliated. Jesus defanged him or made a spectacle of him. So he says, your life is hid with Christ and God. That's a pretty safe place, I'd say, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, church? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears. Look, this gets better and better and better. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then guess what? Then you will also appear with him in glory. He says, you're going to be right with me because you're mine. So we, church, we've got to get a hold of this thing that we are in him and us, and we're just like him. And the day's coming real soon that he's going to visit his church, but he is coming back very soon. All right, but then he says, but I want you to do this. He says, you do this. And the only reason we can do this is because of everything else I just gave you. He did. Verse 8. Now, don't be afraid because you've already got the power. I just read it to you. Verse 8. But now, you yourselves, you're to put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your what? He said, your mouth. Don't you be cussing. Don't you be swearing. Don't you be making excuses for your ugly talk and bad language or bad words. Nope. He says, but now you do this. What? Yeah. Yeah, you do it. You yourselves, you put that off. And the anger fits? Nope. Put those anger fits off. And the blasphemy, you say, oh, I've never blasphemed. I would never blaspheme. But you know what? Blasphemy starts with maybe a little doubt. And you school that long enough, it turns into a little unbelief. I don't know if there's a little bit of unbelief, but it just keeps going down the road. And, well, God doesn't do anything for me. And then you start getting a hardness of heart. I know he doesn't answer me. He doesn't answer me. Well, what are you doing? You're listening to that defeated devil. And when you start listening to him, then you, like the old Chinese man said one time, you can just kuli-offy. You'll get kuli-offy in your spirit. And when you do that, then you start getting hard-hearted. And then hard-heartedness goes ahead and leads to deafness. And you know, you don't care about him. You don't want to be convicted by him anymore. So if people say to you, you know, they've come to me in the altar before, I'm afraid I've blasphemed. I said, no, baby, listen. You have not blasphemed. If you blasphemed, you wouldn't be in this house. Because you don't care. You are not going to come to the church because you don't believe it. You don't like it. You don't want any part of God or his son or Holy Spirit. There's people or nothing. Okay. But that's quite a step, and it can go all the way down. So it is, it's dangerous to start on these little steps of going downhill. So you might bring warning to those if you know someone going there. Okay, I'm just going to read. Oh, we better go. Okay, look at chapter 4, verse 2. Now, continue earnestly in prayer. Now, you be vigilant. Be vigilant in prayer. Be sober. Be serious. Now, you continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, he's given us the whole ball of wax right here. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door to the Word, a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. He said, I know I'm in chains for this, but please pray that God will give me another opportunity to speak the Word. I don't care about the chains. He didn't care that I may speak it manifest. As I ought to speak, now he tells you again, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Now let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So, Terry, he's so gentle. He's so kind. He's so sweet. He said, now you love others too. You know, you'll look at their faults. Yeah, they're there. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. Shouldn't do this. Shouldn't do that. Just be quiet. Let it go. Because, you know, we're all blessed just to be in here tonight, all right? We're all blessed that he hung all of our mess on the cross. Some others just haven't hung there yet. And if they do and it's their past, well, we all got a past. So just let that past be their past and you don't have to worry about it. All right, so verse 12, and I close with this. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ. He was in prison with Paul. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. In prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. So he says, we just keep on praying for you that you'll just stand perfect and complete in the will of God.